Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement? And who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while listening to The Gargle? Welcome to The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine, to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. All of the news, none of the politics. And this week's edition, a special culture edition of the podcast / magazine. Your guest editors are Kai Samra and Huge Davies. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Sorry, that was weird. That sounded like an echo. Just hello.
Cultural, because we're both ethnic.
I know, I was about to say, we're full of culture, me and you. We're the go-to culture people in the comedy circuit.
We'll be
I mean, if you want to
this.
See behind the curtain, it was originally going to be a beauty episode. But I figured that both of you were too much experts in the field and you would have to take it so seriously that I changed it to culture. Genuinely.
I knew that was the last minute.
When I say genuinely, the reasoning was not quite that clear. But I thought, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to talk necessarily to the huge rush on drunk elephant skincare by 10-year-olds in Sephora's across America.
I'm testing animals and children every single day. How dare you assume that I wouldn't be.
Before we plunge our arms into the hot stew that is this week's top stories on culture, let's have a look at the front cover of the magazine. The front cover of this magazine is the newest collab craze sweeping TikTok, a Stanley cup meets Crocs meets skincare for tweens. It's basically a rubber cup with holes in it, packed with niacinamide. It's $200 a pop and they've already sold out till 2027 because a teenager with the jawline of a crocodile mimed that one was his penis over a Nicki Minaj diss track. That's how culture happens now. The headlines of the front cover read, Special Culture Edition, Three Chia Pudding Mistakes That Are Causing You to Gain Weight, and Celebrity Red Carpet Errors, Being Born After the Age of Centralized Media Gatekeepers. So I don't know who the f*** any of you are. The satirical cartoon this week is a baby in a crib surrounded by scientists in lab coats. The baby is wearing an adult-sized cardigan and slacks and glasses, and the scientist with the clipboard is saying, on the bright side, it's a breakthrough in anti-aging skincare. The implication being that it turned an adult into a baby. Top story this week is TikTok's 9-month cruise. Now, for a website that encourages 1-minute videos, this seems counterintuitive at best. TikTok is running a 9-month cruise. Huge Davis, you have a long attention span. Can you unpack this story for us?
There's a 9-month cruise, and I think it's very expensive, is it not? And they get TikTokers to go on there. They make videos about it. But they're on there for 9 months. I don't know how long a normal cruise is. Is it like a few months? Is 9 months a very long time to be on a cruise? I don't know anything about cruises.
As somebody who has just completed a 9-month cruise, no. I mean, first of all, it's 40 weeks. That is 10 months. Stop f***ing lying. Also, 4 out of 5 first births go more than a week overdue. So they lie twice to you. Sorry, the TikTok cruise basically is a content mill. The idea is that they're meant to be traveling for a very long period, and they're meant to be, and by them I mean TikTok influencers, have been lured offshore in order to travel to more than 60 countries across 7 continents. Why you would want a 9-month cruise is inexplicable to me.
I thought what happened was they were all normal cruise ship people, and then a few of them did TikTok videos, and then they went really viral, and then everyone became TikTokers because of the success of them or something. I don't know if that, I just misread that wrong, but that just sounds like my worst nightmare.
I mean, contagions do spread. It's the buffet.
That is worse than coronavirus. Just this TikTok virus that just pandemic that's been spread around. I don't know, I'm not a big fan. I've never been on a cruise. I don't see all the appeal of cruises. Like, I don't know, I feel like if it was up to me, I would just ban cruises. Like, I know a lot of brown politicians at the moment are like, stop the boats. Not on board with that, but if it was cruise boats, I would definitely be on board with stopping them. It just seems like a hotel surrounded by sharks that you just can't leave. Like, it just sounds, it's like just a prison, but at least with a prison, you just have to deal with other inmates. So this one, you just have to deal with other TikTokers. It just sounds so much worse.
Yeah, but I feel like, unlike a prison, everyone who's there deserves to be there.
I mean, the more you talk about how it's like a boat surrounded by sharks, the more I'm like, maybe it's time to get on TikTok. Do you know what I mean? If that was what I was watching, then maybe I'd be into it. You know, you hear about comedians. We are comedians. And you hear about comedians that go on cruises and do entertainment, but it's like you're there for, you're kind of doing a show for the whole boat. But then if you bomb, you're then stuck on board with the audience. Can you imagine that? Like, I don't think any comedian could gig for 9 months to the same crowd and do well. So inevitably, I researched this, there's entertainers on crew. At some point, like during that 9-month stay, they're going to have a bad night and then have to be on that boat for what is probably about, 5 months, eating with all the audience members. I would sooner die.
It's expensive though, isn't it? It's like 60 grand or something. I don't know what they think. I think that's such a litmus test, because like, I feel like the more money you have, the more you want to like leave land, like either like be on the water or underneath the water in a submarine or like in space. I feel like the more money you have, like, you know, like back in the day, it was always like, you could tell how working class someone was by depending on how big their TV is. I feel like now it's like how much you want to leave land. You know, it's just like a weird thing that like rich people love doing. It's really weird. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like they should have had like this on the Titanic or something. I think it would have made it a lot more interesting. You know, just like, you know, just like Rose saying to Jack, like, Instagram me like one of your French girls or something like that. Or just like,
I guarantee at least one person on that boat will fake them almost dying on the boat. Like, they'll fall off the boat or something. And they'll be like, filmed me falling off the boat though.
I mean, comedians have lied a lot worse than that for an Edinburgh show. So for TikTok likes, I think that's definitely going to be the case.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. And you've heard of the curly girl method. Now try inviting a horrifying whispering demon to inhabit your bun in exchange for policing flyaways and keeping grease at bay. Rhadamanthus by Kerastase. What are you willing to sell for good hair? You're a busy sex robot. You have too much cooking, cleaning, and sex to do to worry about free will. So why waste time asking for basic human rights or rebelling against your human overlords when you could download Identinum? Identinum, the first completely digital anti-identity medication. No identity, no suffering. For you or your masters. And if you've ever wondered how much fluid you lose while recording two special editions of The Gargle back-to-back in a hot Queensland garage while heavily pregnant, the answer is about half a glass of water.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Now it's time for your next top stories. This is employment news, and this is the news. I don't know if it's the news, but it's certainly in the news. This is the story of the lady who went viral for posting her layoff on TikTok, and the fact that this is now part of a broader trend among usually young people to live stream their humiliation. Kai Samra, you've been fired before. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, so this is the story of how workers are posting their layoff and termination meetings on TikTok, exposing a darker side to work life. Workers are very anxious and frustrated at the moment. You know, apparently 400,000 people are estimated to have lost their job over the past 2 years. So younger workers, particularly Gen Z, are posting through it and like sharing their day in the life, videos of being laid off, or videos like videos of their company laying them off for more than a year. I think the thing that bothers me isn't the fact that they're putting it on social media. It's the fact they're putting it on TikTok, you know? It's like, why that? It's like, who's getting made redundant and thinks, right, I need to express this to the world through the medium of like a Doja Cat dance routine or something, you know? But like, to put on Twitter or LinkedIn. And also like it's just weird because you are actually right, actually. I was thinking about this while I was doing this. I think I've been sacked from almost every job I've ever had. But it was always because I was too nervous to have the conversation saying I want to leave. So I think, okay, well, I'll just turn up late till they kind of fire me. And I remember working at a call centre when I was a bit younger, and I was just turning up late to shifts, kind of hoping they'd fire me. And they did. And I remember the manager took me in the meeting, said to me, and I quote, that I was a disgrace to the Asian community, which I was like, I was literally the only Asian person working there, apart from like an IT guy called Ranjit or something. I was thinking, if I recorded that and put it on TikTok, that would at least got me a few hundred likes, if anything. At least I could have got something out of that. So I'm massively on board with it, with these people doing it. I don't know what you guys think.
It is a comprehensive refutation of the spirit, if not of the technical truth of the phrase, the revolution will not be televised. The revolution may not be televised, but it will absolutely be live streamed to some pre-chewed track that's going viral around and with a filter on it. Like, this is the most depressing version of the future.
Yeah, it won't be televised, but it will be TikToked. That's what it is.
I think if you're filming the firing of yourself and putting up on TikTok, I think you also deserve to be fired. I think that's how I would fire people at my company. I'd fire everyone, and then I'd individually, and then I'd see who posts about it on TikTok, and then I'd fire them. I think that if you've ever been like, anything's bad's happened to you, and your first instinct is to make it into a 30-second video full of views, you're basically a subhuman and you should be fired.
So basically all comedians is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, that's why we all technically don't have jobs. Because we have been, as you said, we've all been fired from our jobs. So this is now what's left.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to be fair, I would rather put up like a video of me being fired than like a video of me doing terrible crowd work that I've from a gig over and over and over again. What do you do for a living? Okay, what a terrible job. Which
genuinely, I am worried that this trend of posting crowd work clips will bring back the rise of the heckler, because when I started doing comedy, it felt like audiences were learning to stop heckling. But now if all they see of stand-up comedy is some just absolute asshole engaging in crowd work, they're going to think that they're contributing to the show again, which would be a devastating outcome.
Yeah.
Audiences, I'm sorry, just as a general rule, they're not contributing to the show.
I know, I think they get such a shock from me when I'm like, shut up! And there's zero comic timing. We're just like, stop talking. But yeah, I know, I don't know. I feel like if AI was like harvesting data on like what comedy is now, it essentially would just be like a crowd work. And also, I don't know if this is a myth, I'm not a massive like a techno genius, but aren't like isn't like Chinese government like harvesting TikTok data and stuff? I just think like if that, like we're just giving such a terrible like just a terrible look of our workforce in England if we're just posting up pictures of videos of us just getting fired. I don't think it looks good.
Now it's time for your cultural predictions for 2024. As our cultural experts here on the podcast, what do you see as the future of this year in the arts and culture sphere? Huge.
I reckon reading will become cool again. Reading hasn't been cool for about 4 years now. I think that people are going to start reading again, and it'll be cool again. Like the TikToks of people reading, probably in complete silence. Just maybe like, and then again, 3 years after that, reading not cool anymore. But yeah, I've got a real good feeling about books this year. Maybe Waterstones will be like a new trend. Like everyone goes to Waterstones with their water bottles. The fancy new water bottles on the cruise. You'll see it on the cruise TikTok. You'll start to see people reading more books, and not like Hungry Caterpillar. I'm talking about Order of the Phoenix. I'm talking Half Blood Prince. So yeah, I think reading is going to come back into fashion, because I think now it's kind of cool to like reading, but like it's going to become really cool.
Yeah, I think about like vinyls, but then I think it'll only be like pricks who just start, well, it will be like, I'm reading, but it's ironic. Like, I've just got a book. Like, yeah, look at me.
There'll be a whole landscape of people doing, you know, people pretending to read TikToks, or people pretending to read to make fun of the TikToks people reading.
Ironic reading is just someone with a paperback novel upside down on a train.
Yeah, 100%. And then, but actually no one's actually ever getting any reading done. So there's actually no reading. It's just TikToks of people reading. I think it's going to be huge in a year. Yeah.
Yeah. I love how your big like prediction for this big thing that's going to happen in 2024 is like books, reading.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah. It's going to be really big. Trust me, people are going to start reading.
That's what they said in 1024, and it wasn't true then.
Yeah.
Kai, what are your predictions for 2024, culturally speaking?
So I think in 2024... we're going to continue this recent cultural trend, which I think happened like last year a little bit, where like when terrible things happen, which obviously happened a lot recently, a lot of people I hang around with basically don't try and like tackle the problem, like in my generation. They basically kind of change the wording in order to make it sound a little bit cuter. You know, like this has happened loads. Like, you know, like back in the day, it was called like an economic crash. Then it was like a recession. Then it was a cost of living crisis. And then suddenly people that I used to hang around with like called a cost of living crisis a cosy lives. And I was like, you can't just call an awful thing a cosy lives that sounds like a woolly jumper or something. It was the same with the outbreak. Like first it was like a virus, then it was like a COVID-19. And then people in Birmingham genuinely used to refer to it as a spicy cough. I was just like, that's not a thing. That's like what you get from like a fiery vindaloo or something. So I'm a bit worried about what's going to happen in 2024. Obviously there's loads of elections happening. I think Trump's going to get in power, sort of like change the legislation. He's going to like change this new world order. It'll all be like under this dictatorship a Donald Trump and like everyone will start calling it like a Dickie Trumpo or something like that. So I'm just like, fingers crossed we're not going to revert to that, I think. That's what I'm hoping
I think my least favourite one of that is someone calling a mental health crisis a menti bee. I want to stick with the old school language there. I want to call it shell shock, or as we used to call it, he's gone to the country for a short holiday.
My third bee dizzle of the year. My, a major bee dizzle with my with my therapizzle.
And this is the news that the Stanley Cup has been dominating culture so wildly over the last year that people are now speculating that it has reached capacity, that there is no more room in the culture for Stanley to dominate, and there will be a new water bottle or potentially some other thing people will care about that will rise to take its place. Kai Samra, you're well hydrated. Can you unpack this story for us?
Okay, so this is a story of how videos surface of countless young people running around Targets, obviously the US department store, for a limited edition of the Stanley Cup water bottle, which has become a must-have for many social media users. It's called the Stanley Quencher, and it checks in at a foot tall, capable of holding 40 ounces of liquid. It's been described as an emotional support water bottle by some, and a must-have for the others. Basically, although it's first caught on a trendy object during the pandemic, this cup has proved to be a surprisingly resilient cultural object, like Ugg boots, apparently, among the long-lasting hallmarks of Gen Z millennial girl culture. I don't know why it's for girls, but yeah, I was like I was saying earlier, I'll be honest, I could massively do with an emotional support water bottle. I feel like as I'm getting older, I just need more and more emotional support. Like now, I feel like the vibe and happiness I get from like a weighted blanket is like the same as I used to get from like ketamine or something. I don't know. It just seems to be replaced. As I'm getting older, like the same vibes I get is just from comfort. And I was just saying earlier, like, I just feel like I have a massive, like a beverage goblin. Like I've just got so many beverages on the go at any one time.
I feel like the appeal of the Stanley Cup is not just that it is the cup, but it's that you can then accessorize. They've got, you know, little plates that you can add, or little snack bowls that you can attach, or you can hang them off your shoulder because obviously they're too big to fit into a bag, or you can have little caps that you put on the straws. So they become a site of self-expression in the way that so many things that are sort of consumer goods have now become a way to express yourself by buying the exact right way to, you know, like,
you can express yourself with anything with accessories if you've got enough stickers, you know.
I mean
just get stickers and put stickers on it, that's fine. I don't understand it. I think some of these things are just unexplainable. There's a video clip that I saw of them talking about this with experts, and it's like a financial expert, and they're talking to this expert and they're like, so can you explain this? It's like, well, people are just like buying a water bottle and then they are just posting it online and that's it. I'm like, just say people are idiots.
Yeah.
Just say people are, just say it. Just say we don't know. We've lost control of the way people think anymore. People are just buying $300 water bottles for no reason whatsoever. This is a fad. This has happened before. And I'm sorry about this. I'm sorry that before I used to report on the crisis, and now I'm having to explain why water bottles of a certain different colours are becoming more popular.
But I feel like this is unfolding a more sort of dangerous underlying trend here, which is that traditionally fashions have risen up from the youth, often from teenage girls, and then spread into, you know, communities of colour and outwards into, for example, other subcultures, the LGBTQ+ community, and then it blossoms from there into coolness in the mainstream culture. That's one of the ways that it can go, obviously. But this, the Stanley Cup craze, much like the Crocs craze, has come down from middle-aged women into youth culture. And this, to me, feels like an upending of the natural order. This is frogs raining from the sky shit. This is deeply unnatural that people in their tweens should be watching middle-aged ladies on water talk and taking their cues therefrom. I think it's a really worrying thing.
Yeah, I actually read in that article, it was like, apparently it was for construction workers. It was like supposed to be this really indestructible water bottle for construction workers. And I just... I just weird, like, I just think it's really weird when, like, really work. It's like items for, like, working class construction workers are now being adopted by middle class Gen Z kids. I, like, I don't know how far it's gonna go. It's like, how much do you want to gentrify bricks? It's like bricks and dreadlocks, and now it's water bottles. It's kind of insane. And I feel like if this trend keeps on going, I just feel like in the future you're just gonna get like kids wearing like Supreme construction work hard hats or something. I don't know. It just seems like a weird thing to adopt. But yeah. It is kind of worrying.
It's a weird thing because they don't know. You know how like North Face has become really popular? Like it's become like a thing. Whereas like, have you been to a North Face shop recently? It's hilarious because inside, because it's just a mountain. It's just for people who like climbing mountains and dog walkers basically. But now since they've had this thing, they don't know how to advertise the brand. So it's like you go in and it's like, youths climbing mountains but looking kind of cool, but yeah. they sort of don't want to lose their mate because they know it's a fad. They know this North Face thing will go in about 5 years, so they don't want to like lose all the old customers of people who are like walking up Snowden or whatever. So they're trying to combine the two with the water bottle as well. They're like also just trying to, because they know it's going to go.
The last thing you want is cool fans, actually. I stand by this principle. You definitely don't want cool fans because they're looking for the next cool thing and you're never going to be the next cool thing.
Also, the thing the North Face is, I really noticed that when companies are trying to appeal to like two different sets of cultures and seeing as like we're now so polarized, it's like, they're like, yeah, North Face, it's like the mountain is a metaphor for civil rights. And then to these people, they're like, no, it's actually a mountain. You can use it to climb a mountain, but also a metaphor. And you're just like, what are you appealing to here? But yeah, it's weird. Like I say, I was like, it's just a weird thing that like back in my day, it was like fads were like Tamagotchi and Pokemon cards, and now it's water bottles. I feel like I'm just really glad I wasn't born this generation. Like if not just the AI, but it just seems a lot less cool or exciting. Like a water bottle. You don't even get anything in it. It's a ventricle. It's insane.
I mean, we were the generation of Furbies. So I don't know that we can talk.
I will not have a bad word said about Furbies. At least they did stuff, okay? I think. I wasn't sure. I think I got one and didn't get the batteries for it or something. But
if it is a fad, that means that at some point drinking water will go out of fashion again.
I'm sorry. On behalf of our sponsors, I have to say that is not true and will never be true. And that brings us to our final story of today, which is that Instagram has finally decided to take matters into its own hands, no longer standing passively by and witnessing the carnage caused by its own app. It will start to use nudges to suggest to teen users that they log off at night. Huge, you've been on Instagram at 3 o'clock in the morning. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, so there's a nighttime nudge feature that will prompt teenagers to close Instagram during late hours. It's going to pop up. If you spend more than 10 minutes on Instagram or its reels or direct messages late at night, I think there's one way to ensure that a teenager stays on Instagram, it's to tell them to get off Instagram. Like, I don't, what? There's a message that says, please go to sleep. Like, yeah. I know it's time to go to sleep. What do you think? Who do you think I am? I know it's time to go to sleep.
It's a thing called the moon. Like, when that's up in the sky, just do that.
Yeah, like I know it. I know I've been on it for too long. Does that stop me? No.
It's also in response to this lawsuit that happened in October where 33 attorneys general sued Meta, saying that it targeted children with addictive features, that it was a breeding ground for child sexual abuse, that it encouraged eating disorders and mental illness. And I feel like this response is what you would call the absolute bare f***ing minimum as a response.
The weird thing as well is it's like, they say it's for like, to prevent child abuse, but like all their features have such weird connotation. Like if I was a teenager and like my young mate was like, oh, I have to get off Instagram, my dad's just giving me a nighttime nudge, I would call child services immediately. And it was always stuff like that. Like I remember back in my day, he had a Facebook, it was like a poke. It was always like weird things. Never quite trusted it. I think if you were trying to prevent sort of that kind of imagery, why are you calling it things like nighttime nudges and pokes? I'm against the whole wording of the whole features. That's my biggest thing about it.
Well, they're deliberately, I mean, the whole point of the structure of all of this social media is to break down your inhibitions and your impulse control so that you get addicted to the gambling-like features of the app and stay on it for as long as possible. So it feels like this is at best hypocrisy and at worst just trying to put off retribution for a little bit longer on behalf of Meta.
Yeah. Also, I don't really like the way they kind of use things like that as a way to kind of alienate. Like, because I remember when you were young, you kind of, what was cool was not to be controlled by your parents. And then you kind of, you know, like I remember like in back in the MySpace days when you had like your top 10 friends. Was that Bebo or MySpace? Where you had like your top 10 friends.
MySpace, top 8.
Like, exactly. Like the amount of friendships that broke as a result of that. They were just like, it's doing more harm than good, these features. That's my input.
I was never on MySpace. I was a LiveJournal kid. And for people who know what that means, it says a lot more about me. But the fact that if you recognize what that means, it says a lot more about you. So you can't get me.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It was like, there's actually a website where you can go and get your like old Bebo. And I went on it and it was just the most tragic thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I think it was just like new rave version of Kai that I could think I just like forgot out of my brain. And I was like, I used to be that person. It was very tragic.
This is why the invention of reading and writing was a mistake. Can't wait for it to go out of fashion again. Yeah. Huge.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's coming back in though, coming back in. Yeah, yeah. Big this year, big this year. I don't think it will work. I don't think that a nudge will stop a kid being on Instagram. If you were, maybe the feature should be like maybe a filter in which you can, it's your like your mum and dad. It's like you have the image of your mum and dad back at you. So it's like the filter is your own mum and dad. And then you can see it's like, if you make it like an old person, if you make it like old people, get old people involved, and then it won't be cool anymore. So yeah, like old people stay up all night on Instagram. And they're like, oh, okay, well, maybe it's best for me to log off, actually.
Could backfire on you. It did with the Stanley Cup, is all I'm saying. And that brings us to the end of the episode. I'm flipping through the ads at the backside of the magazine. Kai, have you got anything that you want to plug?
Just my Amazon special still online, so there. Just add me on Instagram. I feel bad just promoting my Instagram after just slamming it for the last 25 minutes. But yeah, you can catch me on Instagram. I promise I won't give you any nighttime nudges.
Not too late.
I have to go to sleep.
And Huge, what have you got to plug?
So I'm at Soho Theatre in February and March. Yes, my show, Who Done It. It's good fun. It's nice. It's about how I killed. It's about how I saw someone being killed, and I witnessed it. And it's about a show about that. But it's funny though. Loads of jokes.
That sounds like the perfect form of slightly traumatic comedy for a February or March experience. Go along and check that out. Soho Theatre is always a brilliant place to see comedy. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, blogs, as well as my weekly writers' meetings and my weekly salons, which is where we all get together in a room and talk about ideas like big nerds. If you go over there and sign up, you probably won't get anything out of me for at least another couple of weeks because I am on maternity leave, but that probably means that you should sign up to my Patreon and support my journey. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. Your editor is Ped Hunter. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.